Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Dominate your fantasy baseball league with Fantasy Baseball Today, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Scott White, Chris Towers, and me, Frank Stanfill, every weekday as we recap every player from every game. We'll get you the latest news, waiver wire ads and drops, trades to make, prospect promotions, and everything else you need to take down your league. Follow and listen to Fantasy Baseball Today on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Herbie, what did Jason say about Anthony?
Condescending, what came to mind.
So yeah. on our show, we host, as you know, we host
it
a show.
It had something
every
to
morning.
Do with like condescending blackness too,
yes,
right?
Yes, yes.
I'm condescending sure. Voice of blackness.
That's what it was.
My I guess I'll call it my day job. Like, I'm the football guy here at the station.
So there's a pattern of condescending behavior out of you, is what we're finding.
In all these years, we're still discovering new things, I suppose. You're learning more about me. I learned what a P1 was yesterday.
Yep.
It's about continuing to gather knowledge. That's a part of life.
Well, we are so into the synergy of this radio station and pacifying your needs, apparently, to be considered an expert here or top of the line expert at the score.
It's a lot of competition here at the station.
Yeah, right? Wow, man. Wow. By the way, he is Anthony Heron. Make no mistake about it. I am Mark Rohde. This is The Score, as we are in for the Spiegel and Holmes show today. There's a pattern. There's a pattern going on. Yesterday, we pacified his narcissism very simply by letting him let the record straight on things that we, the media, have gone overboard on, our hosts here at The Score. Yes, and yesterday, your answer to that question was, you guys are making way too big a deal out of Ben Johnson and all the yelling and all the discipline that he's handing out. So you condescended
to us. All this coaching. You guys are all excited about. Congratulations on the Bears coaches. Coaching people. Yes, that is very exciting.
That was the condescending we got from Big Ant yesterday. And so since he is the Scores football guy, we're going to do rapid fire. Ask Anthony Heron about the Bears. Is there a player or an evaluation that you would like for Ant? We'll attempt to do this in some rapid fire sort of way. We'll see what happens. We did not rehearse this in the least. So one of you guys over there, whether it is Alex Kuhn or Chris Tannehill, go first and show me how the show works.
All right. So I will start with someone who, you know, Ant has something in common with. I don't know if he's condescending or not, but Montez Sweat has also sacked Tom Brady. And Montez, though, only got, you know, 5.5 sacks last year. I know it's not all about the sacks, you know, but I know opposing, you know, defensive coordinators, they know they have to account for Montez Sweat, right? But I don't feel like he's a game wrecker. I know he had some injury issues that were nagging last year. He played in 16 games, but still the production was not there. Mm-hmm. A lot of people have cited some of the new additions next to him, you know, on that line that will help him out a little bit. But what do you make of his season last year? And, you know, I know you're not the one giving him the contract, but I feel like he hasn't lived up to it, at least as far as last year goes. How do you see him and his season shaping out, assuming he's healthy this year next to those new additions on the line?
I 100% agree with what you said about the contract. One, that I wasn't the one who gave it to him, but that he at this point isn't fully living up to it. You think about that first year, that half season that he joined the Bears back in 2023, he looked like that guy between what he did in Washington, what he did here in Chicago, but that was peak Montez. That's not who he's been throughout the majority of his career. The guy he was in 2024, that's kind of who he's been. So I think in a similar fashion to the way I described DeAndre Swift, the Bears are hoping for a different guy, or seem to be hoping for a different guy than what Montez Sweat has been throughout the bulk of his career. Mm-hmm. He's an excellent football player, but if you're hoping for double-digit sacks, that's something he's done once in his entire career.
Yeah, that was it. That 1 year with the Bears.
Yep.
That's it.
That was combined between two different teams, led both of them in sacks. It was a historic year, but that was the outlier for Montez Sweat.
Yeah.
He's a really good football player who is not amongst the elite pass rushers in football.
Right. I mean, you go through his sacks, 7, 9, 5, 8, 6.5, 5.5. So you're right. But there is an expectation with the money that you paid him. Mr. Kuhn, did you have a question for the Scores football guy, Anthony Heron?
I do. And I want to stay on the defensive line, okay. Big Ant, and a guy that is, I'm not going to say burst onto the scene, but gotten better in his first two seasons, and that's Jervon Dexter. Mm. And a lot of questions as to how he's going to fit into Dennis Allen's defense. What do you think of Jervon Dexter?
Like his game a lot. And his stature, he's kind of reshaped his body a little bit over the offseason. Frankly, to the extent where some photos started to surface of him over the offseason, like shirtless or, you know, kind of having a minimal wardrobe on. And folks are like, man, is he switching positions? Is this guy turning into a linebacker or what? But no, he's still a hulking guy. I got to see him on draft night, hung out with him on set over there at Soldier Field when he stopped by to talk to myself and our guy Lou Kanellis. And he's just ready. And it's been good to hear some of his teammates commenting on his leadership enhancing. And I think that this role, assuming he's going to be a part of what's a deeper rotation up front, should be a good thing for him. You remember Roy Robertson Harris, looked like a guy that maybe that's your starting defensive tackle at some point here. But in diminished reps, you do get the opportunity to play with more energy, to become a playmaker and showcase that consistently. My hope for Jervon Dexter is that having a veteran presence in the room like Grady Jarrett enhances what he does in preparation, which it seems like he's preparing really well this offseason. But then also just being able to consistently play with energy because you've got a deeper group that he's rotating with up front.
You said that people were worried about him getting smaller.
Yeah, like right around draft time, I don't remember if it was Instagram or where on social media. It was a couple of shots of him like in like tank tops or something, just kind of out. He brought a number of his teammates, you probably know this, brought them down to Florida. Worked with a guy named Brandon Johnson, who's become one of the top pass rush skills coaches out there. He's worked with college guys, he's worked with professionals. And so Jervon Dexter worked with him, brought his teammates down to Florida too. So he seems to be in fantastic shape.
Yeah, well, I'll add two things because he actually, when we spoke to Jervon Dexter, he shared with us that he's bigger. He actually added muscle. So not only did he not lose weight or lose size,
he is carrying it very well.
Oh, my God. Like, it stood out to the point where finally somebody in the group of reporters was like, did you put on? Yep. Yes, I did. And he was like, thank you for noticing. I mean, sometimes that's all you need.
Yeah, because weren't there some, like, initial questions about, like, he was getting, you mentioned him getting smaller, but there did DA get a couple questions about him possibly moving out to edge rusher at points?
In Dennis Allen defenses, he has had bigger defensive ends at times. So could I see Jervon Dexter doing that? Perhaps, but he's been a defensive tackle, far as I know, throughout his entire football career. And for the Bears right now, my impression is that's where he's going to stay for the moment. But could he pop out to end on occasion? He seems to have the movement skills to do it.
And what is your problem with Ruben Hippolyte?
I don't know why they felt the need to draft him as high as they did. Love him as a person. Love him as an athlete. His professionalism shined throughout his time at Maryland. They drafted him in a spot where that's a guy you're hoping is going to be maybe a defensive contributor, perhaps this season, if not in the not-too-distant future here. It just feels like they took him in a spot that's the expectation for that slot. And maybe it's that. Maybe that's what he becomes, but that's not, frankly, what he showed in college. What I saw in college was a guy who doesn't necessarily have the most natural nose for playmaking and a gift for tracking the football, like tackles for loss, interceptions. Those are things he did a bunch of in college. He was the seminal leader, showed up ready to work every day, helped Maryland's defense get better and better. But he strikes me as a guy who's going to be like core special teamer right away. Sure, but big playmaker in the Bears defense, it feels like, you know, mid-round pick is what you would hope he becomes, and I don't see that anytime soon.
Interesting. I mean, I think about some of the guys that the Bears have drafted in the middle. Like, they've had relative success with guys like Jack Sanborn, who actually was not drafted at all.
Right, yeah.
Nick Kwiatkowski, wasn't he a fourth or fifth-round pick, something like that?
Yeah,
he went on to get a contract with Las Vegas.
And immediately, like, led the Bears in tackles, I think, very early in his career before they drafted Roquan, and then Roquan took his job. But, yeah, he showed he's a good football player right away. Ruben Hippolyte, if he was an undrafted free agent, could I see him doing the Sanborn thing? Sure, but you know, they drafted him in what, fourth round?
Yeah,
I mean, that's
yeah.
To me, that's a little rich.
Interesting. Because then I think about a guy too, a more recent vintage, Joel Uibuniwe. Shame on me.
Oh, you're usually very good with that name.
I know. God. But you know what I'm talking about. Number 45 for the Chicago Bears.
Uibuniwe, I think, right?
Uibuniwe. God. Yeah. So he was a linebacker as well. Drafted, I believe, fourth or fifth round. Very valuable on special teams, but never really got there as a linebacker. Just to sum it up, what you're saying is, to be valuable, Ruben Hippolyte being drafted fourth has to be a contributor as a linebacker for the Bears, and you can't just be special teams and depth at linebacker. Like that's a waste, you think?
If we assume health for the Bears linebacker position, TJ Edwards, Tremaine Edmonds, if we assume health for them, they're still going to need a third linebacker who's a real part of that rotation. It does say something to me about Noah Sewell, for how they view Noah Sewell, because he hasn't developed yet. He's just been a core special, and he just became a core special teams guy really last season when healthy. So Ruben Hippolyte, I guess, competes with him to maybe be that third real linebacker who's a part of the Bears defense. And I don't know. Like if that's who you're using there, I'm not sure that there's a lot of production that I expect early from him in that position.
Have ye other...
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Dominate your fantasy baseball league with Fantasy Baseball Today, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Scott White, Chris Towers, and me, Frank Stanfill, every weekday as we recap every player from every game. We'll get you the latest news, waiver wire ads and drops, trades to make, prospect promotions, and everything else you need to take down your league. Follow and listen to Fantasy Baseball Today on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Have other questions before I pivot to my big question? Have you more for their football guy?
Yeah, we can
Anthony
go another here. Round here, I think.
Okay.
Yeah, why not? Dan's killing it.
Right.
He's showing everyone why he's the football guy among hosts.
I'm overwhelmed. I couldn't have done that.
To the offensive side, a guy we talked about with Mr. Butt last hour.
You said it.
Roschon Johnson last year had like half the production as he did in his rookie year. Uh-huh. And this guy, when they drafted him, he was supposed to be like a culture setter. I know it's hard to set the culture when you're not in there. And they, you know, he was the governor. Hey, governor. Like, this is a guy they truly.
Hi, it's Dave.
Yeah. They truly loved this guy coming out. And then he just kind of just not out there enough. Where does he fit this year? And is he going to become a victim of like, well, he's not Ben Johnson's guy, so he just doesn't really fit here. I when he's out there, I do love the way he runs. Maybe there's no longevity in running like that, but where do you see Roschon Johnson fitting this
year? We're doing not my guy radio, not my guy sports.
He runs with so much passion, so it's invigorating to watch him carry the football because he looks like he's wanting to put a hurting on somebody. He looks angry.
And I like the balance.
He's got the rock.
Like, I remember, you know, the Super Bowl Bears with Thomas Jones and Cedric Benson, two different styles.
Yeah.
You wear a team down and you got the speed guy. Like, I love that style in an offense. Yeah. I know it's kind of outdated to think of things that way, but I like wearing the other team down a little bit.
Thunder and lightning, baby.
It would just be nice if when he got the football and he broke that first tackle that he actually gained yards afterwards. It's like he breaks a tackle and then he immediately gets tackled by somebody else. So for him, like, his role as a running back, unless he becomes someone who's kind of your third team running back and becomes a really valuable special teamer, then maybe that's what he is. But right now, he hasn't shown himself to be a true playmaker. In short yardage, when he was in that role last year, he was really effective on third and one. He's really good at third and one. Aside from that, I don't know what else Roschon Johnson really gives to the Bears offense.
What is it that you do?
Yeah, I mean, he moves the chains on third and one. I'm not saying there's not value in that, but there was a lot of talk about it, especially because there was this swing against DeAndre Swift, because I think a lot of folks didn't realize what the Bears got. The Bears probably didn't realize what the Bears got either. And a lot of folks were trying to figure out, should Roschon be getting the ball more? Just like when Khalil Herbert was here and folks were trying to figure out, should he be getting the ball instead of David Montgomery? Roschon Johnson isn't a playmaker. And I love the attitude. I love what he seems to bring to the table every single day. Hopefully he develops into more than what he's been so far. But up to this point, if that ends up being your number two back that you're counting on, there's a lot of limitations to what he does when you actually give him the football.
It's been a long time, now that you're saying that, it's been a long time since the Bears have had a playmaker running back. And people want it, like people will say David Montgomery.
Tariq Cohen was like, wasn't it?
That's
was
pretty
it Montgomery
good answer.
That Tariq Cohen that, was like, paired like, with.
And by the way, Montgomery not somebody that I would consider good running back for the Bears. Mm-hmm. I never looked at David Montgomery as a playmaker, like as a guy. I mean, solid running back.
Yeah,
talking about a different category, a weapon, a guy that makes a difference.
Okay,
a guy that
like a Matt Forte, Pro Bowl type.
So
of
I think
back.
You're right, though. I think it's Tariq Cohen. I think that that's the answer right there.
Oh, like, well, see, and even I was the category I thought you were going with was who's someone that they've paired with the quality starting
back.
Now
I'm doing a different exercise.
Oh, yeah, because Tariq Cohen, Tariq Cohen wasn't some amazing running back. Like, he was a playmaker in space.
He had home run hitting ability.
DeAndre Swift is a playmaker in space. That's what he's always been, though.
Mm-hmm.
DeAndre Swift has always been the playmaker in space guy. For whatever reason, the Bears didn't realize that at first, and then they figured it out last season. I didn't have any issue with what we saw from DeAndre Swift because I felt like I understood what he was when the Bears signed him.
Wow.
It seemed like the Bears didn't fully understand
is what you're
that.
Saying, yeah.
And now you pair somebody else with Swift, this can work just fine because he is an exceptional playmaker in space. You get him in space, we're good. That's my curiosity for Ben Johnson's offensive eye and his wizardry is how DeAndre Swift is cast in here because in Detroit, you know, he seemed to fall out of favor with Ben Johnson. One of the frustrations with DeAndre Swift has been those same short yardage scenarios that Roschon Johnson excels in. But right now, 3rd-and-1, like I mentioned, that's the only thing Roschon Johnson really excels in. Would like to see more than that from him to really feel like the Bears have something there.
Mr. Kuhn, did you have a final question?
I do.
Big Ant.
Here? So everybody is talking about the left tackle position, right, on the offensive line, but I want to go to the right guard position because Jonah Jackson has missed 22 games the last 3 seasons. Now, this is a guy that is a Pro Bowl type talent when he is healthy, but the Bears did not bring back Matt Pryor in a whole lot of depth at the guard position. So what do you think about Jonah Jackson?
As odd as it sounds, Ryan Bates still being around, that does give me some comfort there because it wasn't too long ago when Ryan Bates was the coveted guy that Ryan Poles was hoping would become his starting interior offensive lineman, whether it guard or center or something, just somewhere there near the football. Now the good thing is they brought in guys who are definitively better than Ryan Bates, and so he gets to be kind of your movable chess piece on the interior of the O-line. That, to me, makes for a strong unit because he's going to have to get snaps at some point. When he was out there last season, he's playing with one arm really quickly. So a healthy Ryan Bates as your backup swing interior O-lineman, that's actually a pretty good spot for the Bears to be in. Hopefully that depth won't end up getting tested so much that you have to go, you know, kind of take multiple bites at that apple. But I think that's a really strong role to have a guy the caliber of Ryan Bates, where you're not saying you got to be our starting guy, but you get that as a backup who could maybe go and swing in multiple spots here, I think you're in pretty good shape.
Yeah, actually, you're right. And we've been talking about that on Take the North lately, the podcast I host with Dan Wiederer about, because we're like, look at the offense. Like, it looks like it could be the starting five should be better, but then we got to the question of depth. Dan was pretty down on the depth, but I feel like once you know who you have and you know who you have healthy, as and let's just say it's Braxton Jones, then all of a sudden you do have some pretty nice, I would think, you would think in theory, with Amagaji, who hopefully will have continue to have a full preseason of work and get closer
that
to where
he didn't have last year.
He did not have last year to where he will work his way. Hopefully, Ozzie Trapillo is right on the heels of Braxton Jones. So right there, you have two guys who maybe in theory could play both of your tackle spots. Ryan Bates on the inside. It's pretty nice. They did draft, and sometimes I still have to look, Luke Newman in the 6th round. I don't know what one expects out of him right there. Doug Kramer looks pretty good on the inside as well. So as I go through it, I feel like it's not where it should be, but I feel pretty decent about
it's better.
Better than it was last year, even though Ryan Pohl said it was historically good last year.
Oh, it's so much better than last year
with
actual proven commodities there. And even at left tackle, Tripillo, Amagaji, we were talking about both of them. Karan Amagaji, it confounds me. Of many things that confounded me about the Bears last season, a guy who had no offseason, wasn't even healthy into early in the year, and to get his first career start, to get that action on the road in one of the more hostile environments in football, yes, out of the 60-some snaps that you play in a football game, there was a lot where he looked like a turnstile, but then there was also, you know, a couple of plays here and there where you could see him holding up one-on-one when they left him on an island. There's physical ability there with Karan Amagaji. We got that first and what ended up being that only look, and yeah, you kind of hung the young man out to dry, but there's some skill there that has the potential to be developed for Amagaji.
Oh my God, you are so... the Scores Football guy.
Oh,
that was so
well,
good.
Thank you.
No, that was really good.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses like Rise Bakery connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Dominate your fantasy baseball league with Fantasy Baseball Today, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Scott White, Chris Towers, and me, Frank Stanfill, every weekday as we recap every player from every game. We'll get you the latest news, waiver wire ads and drops, trades to make, prospect promotions, and everything else you need to take down your league. Follow and listen to Fantasy Baseball Today on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.